in 2010, you may recall there was an oil spill in the Gulf. There was a big, you know, it really hurt the shrimping industry in the South. And I went down and started talking to the shrimpers, you know, just after the oil spill, and I found out that they were developing a drying facility for their shrimp shells. These guys were paying $100,000 a year or a month to get rid of their shrimp shell waste so they could sell the meat. And we had initiated a project at the university to extract a very valuable polymer, it's called chitin, from the shrimp shell. And we started working with them. They wanted to sell it for fertilizer. And we have been trying to develop higher-end products from this. And so at the university, we developed a new way to extract this polymer chitin. We've patented it through the university. And we started looking at new applications. And about this time, we were doing some other work with the Department of Energy. And the Department of Energy is interested in a fuel source for nuclear energy. Now, no matter what you think about nuclear energy, most likely it's going to be needed for our near-term energy security. So the Department of Energy is trying to secure a stable fuel source, which is the element uranium. And it turns out that uranium is in the ocean. Oh, very, very small concentration of uranium, but the ocean is so big that if you added it all up, there's more uranium in the ocean than in any land deposit. So the real goal was to be able to essentially mine uranium from the ocean. And the Department of Energy's method of doing this was to take a plastic that was developed by the Japanese maybe 10 years ago, and they piloted this extraction from the ocean. And they were going to make tons of this plastic and put it in the ocean. And I looked at this and I talked to the program officer and I said, are you really going to take tons of plastic and put it in the ocean? I realize you want to get the uranium, but as the director for the Center for Green Manufacturing, I said, do you know what happens when plastic gets into the ocean? And you may even be aware, Jeremy, there's a big problem with plastics in all water supplies now.
Oh, yeah.
They can't get rid of them.
Yeah,
and definitely. I said, you know, we have a polymer that comes from the ocean that the ocean knows how to get rid of and can be easily, through using our technology, can be easily modified to do the job. So that was good enough to get an academic grant for two or three years to show feasibility. And then our small company, 525 Solutions, which is being incubated at the University of Alabama, proposed to DOE that we needed to scale it up. So they gave us 6 months and a small amount of money to prove that we could do it, and we proved it. And so just recently we were awarded the what we call Phase 2 Small Business Innovation Research Grant, and that is $1.5 million over 2 years to now scale it up to the point where investors would recognize that it could work, and we would have all of the engineering parameters in place to engineer and build the full-scale plant. So the idea, at least for me, is that we would try to build a plant, assuming we can get the investment, we would try to build a plant in somewhere near Bahia La Batre where the shrimp shells are, and then you take this waste product, we would extract the chitin and process it into what we call the sorbent for uranium. And then this material would be sold to whoever the Department of Energy would contract to do the actual mining. So in essence, to try and simplify it, we're taking a polymer that's in the shrimp shell, and we're turning it into a material which can remove uranium from the ocean.
Okay, well, great. So for the non-chemistry people, myself included, what exactly is a polymer? I mean, when is this like a chemical? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, it is. It's a natural chemical. Well, I hope you're not one of those people that thinks anything is chemical-free.
But, oh, no, no.
No, the difference, if you think about plastics, the water bottles, any type of plastic, that's a man-made long chain molecule that we call a polymer. So plastics typically take small chemicals from based on oil and link them together to make a long chain material, which is the polymer. So you often hear plastics and polymers in the same breath. Plastics are really polymers. The chitin is nature's polymer. You know, there's a couple like this. Cellulose, which comes from trees, the stuff we write on with paper, that's another natural biorenewable polymer. So the idea is that instead of a human being doing chemistry to put little molecules together to make long chains, nature does this naturally. And the two major, what I call biopolymers, the renewable ones, are chitin, which is found in crustacean shells, insect shells, and cellulose, which is found in trees.
So when we eat shrimp, are we peeling the little, you know, what seems like a little clear shell off of the shrimp? That's what we're talking about?
That's right, the shell, especially that part. When you have the boiled shrimp and you take the back and the tail off, that's my favorite part because that has the most chitin and it's the most easily accessible for us.
Okay, gotcha. So you guys are going to be really, really tied in with the shrimping industry here. From the story, I see you guys develop these sort of mats that you lay down, I guess, on the ocean floor. Is that the idea? And then it kind of, from the story, it says it kind of sucks this stuff up. How exactly is that working?
You can think of that. I think I like to think of it as a magnet. I think all my chemist friends will give me a hard time for saying that, but essentially that's what happens. We put something on the surface that attracts the uranium that's in the ocean, grabs it, and won't let go. That's the important part. Because it's such a low amount, low concentration, anytime a uranium comes floating by, you have to grab it and not let go.
Ah, I see.
And
okay.
So the concentration on the surface just builds and builds over time. So there has not been a formal deployment strategy developed yet, but the way the Japanese did it many years ago is that they actually took ships out and they dropped chains that floated to the surface. They were it was deep water, and they're really like a kelp forest. That's a good one for it. So you know how you have the seaweed and it's sticking up and it's moving back and forth with the currents and everything.
Yeah.
So if instead of seaweed you think of our mats in that configuration, they're sticking up into the ocean and the currents flowing by them, and the current as it goes by is bringing the uranium, and when it sees the chitin mat, it sticks to it.
How far, I guess, away would you say you are to actually being able to do it? And when you talked about the plant, is the plant something that would be built on shore that you would bring back to, I guess, to then process whatever uranium, I guess? Is that what you mean?
Yes, there are two parts to this. One is our part, which is making the material that could be used for mining uranium from the ocean. And the second part is actually mining uranium from the ocean. And we're not doing the second part. That would be a highly specialized, I would suspect the DOE would contract a mining company to actually do the mining. We're an enabling technology. We're making the, what I call sorbent. We're making the material that would be used by the mining company to attract the uranium. So your question had two parts. I know you were asking how soon we're going to be mining uranium, but I can't answer that question.
Gotcha.
That's going to be a DOE question. But I can answer how soon could we be ready to extract chitin and make the chitin mat. I believe, but I'm an optimist, I believe that we could start building that plant now. Our grant is 2 years to demonstrate that scale up so that somebody could build the plant. So we're probably looking, I'd say, 1 to 3 years before we could actually start building the plant.
Were you approached by them, I guess, in the sense that I don't hear very much about much expanded nuclear power. Maybe I'm not looking hard enough. I'm not sure. I don't hear about it very much. Is there a big push to move towards nuclear?
Well, there's two things here. One is a push to move to nuclear, and I think that's the wrong terminology. I don't think anyone is saying nuclear is our long-term sustainable future. I think people instead are looking at renewable energy, solar, other types of things. But in terms of the medium-term survival and economic survival of having an energy source, nuclear energy has, is, and most likely will always be a major part of the portfolio for around the world, not just in the United States. So while disasters like Fukushima have put a very negative public perception on nuclear energy, and I think because of that, even Germany said we're not going to go nuclear, that has not stopped research and development in nuclear power. It has not shut down the world's nuclear facilities, and is unlikely to. I think that many countries, including the United States, see that they have to maintain research and development and probably the development of new energy sources in the nuclear regime, or they're going to be in trouble. Even if you look at being totally successful with oil shale, and you have to look at how much energy are we using and where is this energy use going and how are we going to be able to survive in the future. And I think that many, many people still see nuclear as serving as one tool in that toolbox.
Okay, well, very cool. Yeah, and you hear a lot about natural gas and stuff. A lot of talk about sort of these stopgap measures, but that's of course getting into energy policy and all that. But your work specifically, how do you feel about it? Are you excited? Is this a major advance? I'm sure you guys have been doing steady work now for a while now, but is this like does it seem as if it's really starting to take off?
I believe it is. Now, I'm not totally excited necessarily about the uranium application. I think, again, that's one where we came in and said there's a better way to do this, and you need to watch out for the environment while you're doing it. And it is a very nice grant, and we think that we can do a good job. But the purpose for getting started in the first place was to develop the whole economy around this polymer chitin. And that is to create new products and new materials from chitin that would lead to new jobs and economic development. And when we look at some of the other products that we've been trying to make, we had a small business innovation grant from the National Science Foundation, for example, to make a bandage because the chitin has properties that help heal wounds and kill are antimicrobial. So these are examples. The uranium sorbent is another example of a chitin-based material. We see medical sutures. We see cosmetics. What we have is a very unique way to obtain the chitin from the shrimp shell. And the product that we get, the polymer that we get, is unique because of the way that we obtain it. And that allows us to make things that other people cannot make. So I am more excited about all of the potential products from the chitin than the exact uranium sorbent, because the uranium sorbent to me is much further off, and we're only one part of that story. They still have to develop all the techniques to deploy and recover the uranium, and I think that that will be difficult.
You were saying there you weren't excited about that, but what? Why exactly? Are you worried that it's not going to be done responsibly, or what do you mean?
No, I think it's just higher risk, not risk in terms of hurting people, but risk in terms of being successful. We can make the sorbent, we can make it as cheap as possible, we can help with the chemistry, but we're not going to be the ones actually taking the boats out into the ocean and getting the uranium, recovering it, and purifying it for use. I see it, this is a long-term effort by DOE, which has just started. And for a company, I don't see that the company is going to be able to make a lot of money in the near future. I do see us helping to develop the products for the future that they will need. So our business strategy, which we put in our proposal, our business strategy was we're going to scale up the extraction. We're going to develop new products, which we will sell for a profit, and that will allow us, when DOE is ready, to be able to provide this sorbent at a lower cost.
So the point of the chitin is that it's more environmentally friendly than plastic. Is that the point, in that it breaks down quicker?
Absolutely. There are microbes in the ocean that degrade the chitin all the time, so it's very biodegradable. So if this polymer were to break free, then the ocean would be able to easily deal with it and return it to nutrients for everything else, whereas the plastics tend to get smaller, but they stick around.
Right, and they build up, and then they become floating islands, apparently.
Well, I don't know about the floating island. That one seems to come and go if you look at the literature, but the recent one is that they've been studying what are called real microplastics. So they abrade and they get very, very smaller and smaller beads, and this can interfere with the ecosystem.
Yeah, I saw that. I think it was just recently there was an NPR story about a town, I don't remember which, you probably know, that banned microbeads. I'm not sure how they did that. If I had done this interview about 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't have known at all what you were talking about. I guess there's more awareness of that now. Well, you know, I think those are the questions I had. I think you've done a pretty good job of explaining this to me. And again, sorry, this is kind of over my head. It's really interesting work. It sounds like it's very important, and it sounds like you guys are doing a great job. Is there anything that I've missed that we should have talked about or anything like that, or that you would like to talk about it?
No, I think that's really basically what we're trying to do. The main point from the university side and as a professor is to note that what we're trying to do is to help develop things that will help Alabama using Alabama resources.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And one more question. When you were talking about earlier with the background of you were seeing this being done with the Gulf oil spill, what were they doing down in the Gulf? What was the purpose of what they were doing there?
Now, the only reason that I talked about the Gulf oil spill is that I have that date in my mind, as most of us do. But that's when I started interacting with the shrimping industry. And what they were doing at that time was drying their waste to try and sell it for a low-value fertilizer because they were spending so much money to get rid of it. And if the oil spill came at such a time that it really hurt the industry, and a lot of they didn't know what to do. So we went and we tried to help them develop new products that might bring in new revenue streams.